And we are live.
Welcome back to Checkpoint, brought to you by Strictly Casual, your number one show, rounding up all the hottest, not so modest gaming news of the week and discussing all the relevant topics you need to know about. I'm one of your hosts, James Woolmer, joined today again by the spiciest meatball in gaming, Vincent DeSantis. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. Like, great. The week has been so productive. I'm vibing. I'm living.
Hell yeah.
I am on the grind right now.
Hell yeah, you are.
How you doing?
You and me both, sir.
Yeah.
I'm also on the grind.
Yeah.
I'm not getting as much stuff as I thought I would be done.
Okay.
I think I have all this time. I'm just awful at time management.
Sure.
Come to know.
Fair enough.
And that's just how it is.
That's how it goes,
ladies and gentlemen.
We work through
guys,
that.
Thank you so much, audio listeners. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/strictlycasual. Please hit us with a rating on audio platforms and sub. Hit that notification bell too. Why not? It helps us out a lot. Guys, we got a little bit of membership stuff going on. Basically, we no longer upload a video version of the entire podcast for everybody. That is specifically for our members. So if you want to be one of those spicy members, drop us a $2 membership fee. And
$199.
And you can get that free, not free, that that video full length podcast. Otherwise, you can listen to the full thing on your audio podcast platforms like Spotify and Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts, whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's all good.
And feel free to enjoy our clips.
Yeah, there we go. We do post clips every week of the podcast.
We do post clips every week, sometimes more than one.
Sometimes more than one. If we're feeling really crazy, we do more than one. Feeling absolutely crazy.
If we are feeling absolutely crazy. Guys, today we're talking about some review roundups. We're talking about Bungie, not the chords. We're talking about Battlefield 2042 and some other stuff. Vincent, how are you doing? What are you playing?
Oh, James, I've had a great week of games, actually.
Good. I'm so glad.
I've been squeezing it in every single point I can, but I've been playing. I put 11 hours into Pokemon Arceus this week. And God, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I've got my gripes, but somehow it just pulls me. It just keeps me coming back. Like I just, the loop is so fun. It's the most fun I've had in a Pokemon game in a long, long time. Like probably since a kid. Like even Sword and Shield might be good. Like they're good games and I enjoy them, but this is so much more enjoyable for me. Like it just feels so fun. So I've been doing that. I bet I'll have more thoughts on that later also, but, I've also jumped back into Destiny this week with Hydra, Cheesy, and Ryder, and
whoa,
we are doing Witch Queen prep right now, like cleaning vault stuff, trying to get some quests done that'll be vaulted. And I love it, man. I love it. Playing with friends is like in Destiny. Nothing beats it. Nothing beats it. It's the best. So I think I'm going to be jumping into Witch Queen in February, although it'll be under my priority list because Horizon and Elden Ring will be at the top. And then that'll be my like multiplayer game. Like whenever
I don't know how you're going to do both Horizon and Elden Ring.
Here's the beautiful thing. There ain't no releases in March that I'm looking forward to. So, and Forspoken comes out in May, and that's like the next thing I'm kind of looking forward to. So I got a couple months to enjoy these things.
Yes, sir. That's how it goes.
What you been playing?
I hopped into a little game called Hades this week. Had to download it on Game Pass.
Nice.
Just like half an hour, 45 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And God damn.
Yeah?
That game is so cool.
Good.
Like, the core gameplay feels so good. It's just like it hits all the right roguelite boxes.
Yeah.
And the voice acting especially blew me away. Every single character, both like main and side, just like I just want to soak in every single word. Like I'm never tempted to skip a line of dialogue because they just like, oh, the voices are so good. Like it's exactly the way you would think like Greek gods and these myths would speak. And everything is just so crisp and like the voice acting is just so like nothing feels half-assed.
Right.
Like they put their whole they stuck their whole foot in this voice acting.
It is on sale on PlayStation right now as well.
It is for $18.
Which might be a move.
So if you'd rather buy it on PlayStation, you don't have access to Game Pass, I would say go buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
One more thing I have to know.
Yeah.
Every single character is attractive.
Oh, I'm fully aware.
Every single character is gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The art is so sick.
I'm feeling some type of way.
Good. I'm glad. That's how it should be.
But the gameplay itself is great too. There's so many, like, it doesn't tell you really anything aside from your basic attack buttons.
Interesting.
And there's all these different status effects. There are like traps in the ground that you can like, you have to like push enemies into.
Okay.
There are certain attacks deal knockback and people get more damage when they like run into a wall. And so it's like, is it a wall slam? Yeah, it's a wall slam. So you like hit an enemy into a wall, get a wall slam, extra damage.
So by playing.
Just like
it.
Little, yeah, by playing, you just kind of like learn these mechanics that play out. It's really cool.
I'm very excited to play that eventually. I need to.
And I've also been playing more Halo Infinite multiplayer.
How's that?
It's Halo Infinite multiplayer. It's always fun. Feels good.
Yeah, it always feels good.
I want to jump into the campaign, but like last time I tried to, the Xbox client was taking a shit on me. Mm. So.
Yeah, I mean, part of me is just waiting for co-op because I just want to. It's so much fun playing that in co-op. Mm. But also, I don't want to wait at the same time, but there's so many other games to play too. So I'm like, eventually I'll play it. I'm just in no rush.
It's true.
What was I going to say? Something about Halo Infinite. That's right. We got a tweet this week. I didn't put this on the news. I forgot to. From one of the heads of multiplayer and just says they're waiting to reveal kind of their content map for a couple more weeks until they get like exact dates solid because they don't have exact dates for everything yet. That's for like co-op.
Regarding what?
Co-op campaign for season changes for next season of Halo multiplayer progression. Like a big quality of life stuff. That was supposed to be coming this week, but is coming in a month. But also two more things that we don't have down here. I watched the Gran Turismo state of play yesterday.
Wow, okay.
It looks absolutely gorgeous. And the AI that they have for weather and like time of day is mind-blowing. I highly recommend watching it just for that. Like the stuff that they're doing in there, I haven't seen a game try to do. And I guess it only works in, Gran Turismo because they have maps and stuff, so the things are able to do changes on the maps, but it's all dynamic. Like it's so freaking cool, man. Like Gran Turismo, like simulation racing is not my type of game, but it is just, it's so sick. Awesome to see. And then today after we record this, there's going to be a Ghostwire Tokyo state of play, which is like a 10-minute thing, but we go.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not a state of play.
Yeah, it's just like a little show.
It's a Bethesda showcase.
Oh, really? It's releasing on PlayStation?
It's not on PlayStation.
Oh, okay. Cool. I am mistaken then. But.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did have a big game come out this week, James. What did we get? Big AAA game.
We got Dying Light 2 with a review roundup we got going on right here. A few of these come from Kotaku, IGN, and GameSpot. I'm going to start with the GameSpot one. Vin, you come in on the IGN.
Beautiful.
This comes from Mark Delaney of GameSpot. Dying Light 2 is a perplexing game. Its story and characters are headache-inducing and appears to lack polish in many areas. But even a dozen hours after I rolled credits, I found myself going back to the game to do another parkour challenge, rummage through another abandoned science lab, or just see if I can get from point A to point B without ever hitting the ground. It's rough around the edges and it asks players to invest a lot in its weakest element. But once you realize the story, like gravity is only going to pull you down, you can begin to defy it and enjoy the things Dying Light 2 actually does well.
Beautiful. And they give that
a 6 out of 10
in progress.
That's in progress,
which is interesting. And then over at IGN, they give it a 7 out of 10. This comes from Travis Northup, saying, quote, another in a long series of big, ambitious games whose potential greatness is visible just beneath a grimy layer of bugs. Dying Light 2 Stay Human could very likely become the stellar zombie survival adventure it's meant to be someday. For now, though, it's best added to your backlog unless your irritation with crashes and technical issues is outweighed by eagerness to dance across rooftops with its excellent parkour, which, when everything works, is an unforgettable way to explore the last city's open world and join in the post-apocalyptic stories of its many weird and distinctive characters. No patch can fix the forgettable main plot or the protagonist I couldn't pick out of a police lineup, even after 80 hours in his shoes. But Dying Light 2 Streets tell their own stories.
And lastly, from Kotaku, they did not give it a score, but they did say, this comes from Zach Zweizen, maybe the world doesn't need another zombie game in 2022, but I'm happy we got one, and I'm happy it's the wickedly fun sandbox of Dying Light 2. Across the board, reviews are kind of panning out at mid, around a Metacritic of, what, 70?
Yeah.
Like pretty good, but issues.
It's like a low 70. The thing that I've been hearing nonstop about this is the ending is so bad. They're like, if you're not, like, if we weren't reviewing this game, just stop before the last mission. Cause like it leaves such a bad taste in your mouth that you won't, like, that's all you'll think about. When the game is so fun up to that, the story's not good. I don't think a single person I've heard that the story is good in this, but they said, if you play till the end, and then stop before you actually end the game, it's a much better experience, which is hilarious to me. But yeah, that is that. Boom. You want to? Okay. Should we record? You record? You go. You go.
I'm recording.
You're sorry. Okay. Restart the recording. Restart the recording.
Okay.
All right. You go and then I'll go. Ready?
Okay.
Guys, Sony made another huge purchase this week by buying Bungie. James, before we get into this article from IGN, did you see this coming at all?
No. Not at all. No.
It's nuts to me.
Not from a mile away.
Now, before we get into this, it is clear that this is not a direct response to Xbox's Activision purchase. These deals do not happen weeks. just in like 2 weeks.
They did not just call up Bungie and say, yo, we got an idea real quick.
No, not at all. So this comes from IGN. Sony Interactive Entertainment has announced it will acquire Destiny developer Bungie for $3.6 billion.
$1 billion.
Games Industry Biz reports the following deal. Bungie will run as an independent subsidiary of SIE and will remain a multi-platform studio with the option to self-publish and reach players where they choose to play, which is so freaking important. Do we remember Bungie under the control of Activision? Bad games. When Bungie left Activision and self-published, their games got exponentially better, and their updates and their, I don't know, respect for the fans and everything went up because they didn't have to report to anybody. So this is huge. Bungie is best known as the creators of Halo, but since becoming an independent studio, they have focused their efforts on Destiny. Quote, we've had a strong partnership with Bungie since the inception of the Destiny franchise, and I couldn't be more thrilled to officially welcome the studio into the PlayStation family, says SIE President CEO Jim Ryan. James, what else is this? I'm going to add something.
In the official PlayStation blog post, Ryan begins by confirming Bungie's independence, saying, quote, I want to be very clear to the community that Bungie will remain an independent and multi-platform studio and publisher, end quote. Ryan also says that Bungie will, quote, sit alongside PlayStation Studios organization, end quote, where the two groups will collaborate. PlayStation Studios will also gain access to Bungie's proprietary tools, which can be used for PlayStation Studios teams, according to the blog. In a separate blog post, Bungie detailed what the acquisition means for the company, calling SIE, quote, a partner who unconditionally supports us and all we are and who wants to accelerate our vision to create generation-spanning entertainment, all while preserving the creative independence that beats in Bungie's heart, end quote. Bungie reaffirms that it retains its ability to independently publish and develop games even after the acquisition, and that it's committed to supporting games and communities, quote, where they choose to play, end quote. This is Sony's sixth acquisition since 2021, though most of its studio acquisitions have been studios with long histories with PlayStation, like Bluepoint and Housemark, or support teams and specialized studios like Nixes and Valkyrie Entertainment. While Destiny 2 has been heavily promoted alongside PlayStation with exclusive bonuses for players on the system, Bungie's history is intertwined across PlayStation, Xbox, and PC, and the company hopes to remain multi-platform after the deal.
Right. I mean, we saw Xbox play nice, they said. They said Call of Duty is coming to all platforms in the next 3 years, confirmed. Yep. Bungie's not, I don't think they're pulling Destiny from Xbox. Like, that just doesn't make sense at all to me.
Especially not from Game Pass.
No. Well, that's the only thing that I would expect to get pulled, is it from Game Pass. It's already,
I don't think so.
It's not on PC Game Pass. It's only on console Game Pass. So,
I
don't know, especially with Sony's Spartacus coming up, that would be the only thing I see pulled, but it'll stay everywhere else. I don't know. There's so much to talk about here, but I also want to mention that Bungie said that they're putting $1.2 billion of this deal into employee retention, which funnels out to about over $1 million per employee for retention bonuses. It wouldn't be all at once, but that would be spread out after over a period of time. That's like, if you work for this many years, you would get this much of this. This many years, you get this much of this.
Yep.
That is a lot of money, dude. That is on top of their salaries. Like,
and that everything. Is insane.
So, dude, shout out these guys. Here's what I want to bring up too, James. Why the hell would Sony buy Bungie? Why would they do this? If Bungie's going to stay independent, why would they do this?
Or not independent? Okay, so I think a bit. There's a lot of different parts to this. First of all, you got proprietary tools. I think Sony wants to use the tools that Bungie has been using for its own game to make Destiny as successful as it is for other games as well. I think,
yeah,
I think they want to, especially because Sony, one of the ways in which they're lacking is they don't have any console exclusive shooters. They don't have any shooters that live on PlayStation that multiplayer shooters that are drawing, right? Yeah. Everything else is multi-platform. I mean, you had Deathloop for a time, but even then, that's a single-player shooter. It's a different beast entirely.
Right.
I think that's a part of it. I think another part of it is I think Sony is just interested in the Destiny IP and its rich kind of, what am I going to say? It's potential for other content. So I think talking about movies and TV is huge, and I think that would bring in a lot of money for Sony.
Yep. That's what I want to bring up is there's two things here. Jim Ryan yesterday comes out and says that Sony will have 10 live service games for PlayStation in 10 by 2026. So by having Bungie in this, that's a successful live service game that they can model for other games too.
I literally sent you an Instagram story the other day saying they have 1 million people who have already pre-ordered The Witch Queen.
And I'm one of those that hasn't pre-ordered that still plan on paying for it and buying it day one. I imagine there's a lot of people in my boat too. And there will be the people that are peer pressured by their friends and buy it on day one even if they don't play it right away.
That's going to be me.
There's everyone. But I think, to be honest, this is just coming from me with absolutely no evidence whatsoever. I really think this deal is about the movies and the TV shows. Last year, we talked about Bungie expanding their studio.
You're not alone in this.
No, right. But there's no evidence to back this up. That's the only problem. That's why I'm a little hesitant to even...
I think there is at least evidence that points to that because they've already talked... Like, Bungie is already...
Developing.
Kind of... Is already developing a TV show.
Yeah. And they've talked about movies. They've talked about this and that. So by having PlayStation, because we have PlayStation Studios or not, what do they call it? Obviously,
Sony Interactive Entertainment.
No, because PlayStation Studios has its own movie brand now. It's like it's going to be before Last of Us on HBO. It's going to be before the new Uncharted movie.
Right.
They have a movie studio. They're calling it whatever. And so I assume that those efforts, what they're building here, is going to go. Like, imagine Bungie having a full team, full production team on some sort of Destiny thing mixed with Sony, an actual, big studio publisher, and the PlayStation Studios brand for this, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money.
They're creating their own PlayStation verse of content.
They can self-publish everything they do through Sony, which is wild.
It's huge. It's huge for them.
You don't have to sign to, you don't have to go through Universal to put out your Destiny movie or anything like that.
Which is great because Sony is also as invested as they are in the TV show and the other visual media.
Yeah.
They're also informed and they know what's going on in the game space as well.
Right.
So they don't have to segment that or silo it off from their interest of producing their games.
I know this is getting into movie territory and TV show territory a little bit, but I think a Destiny show is actually pretty intriguing to me. I think if it's done right, it can be great. It needs to have a great budget, a great cast, and a very well-written story. It cannot just be, let's shoot aliens for four episodes and do it.
And I think that's what Bungie gains most by this acquisition is the funding.
Yeah.
Even though Bungie is a very profitable studio in its own right, Sony is the most profitable gaming, I want to say the most profitable gaming giant in the space right now.
I could be wrong. Wild. That'd be wild. They make a lot of money. I don't know. I don't have the numbers. But damn.
Okay. That's speculation.
But, it's very profitable regardless.
Yes, it's very profitable regardless. And I think Destiny, because it has so much extra lore, Right. And it has a lot of things that they don't show you straight up. It's a lot of things you have to read into, a lot of descriptions, a lot of audio logs, things like that you have to listen to. I think they can kind of tap into that and bring some of those things that are a little bit behind the scenes, behind the curtains,
right,
into the foreground to, you know, even benefit the players and like understand the world of Destiny for those people better and feel more of a connection to it.
Each raid has a huge storyline that goes before it and like things that like, why are you going into this? Even like there's different raids where you have to save people. Like you're saving a person at the end of this. Why is that person in there? Why is he in trouble? Why is she in trouble? That kind of thing. Let's like get that fire team together. Let's have a show about that fire team. Like what gets you into this? And then you're actually playing the rescue. It's like the part two of the show. That'd be sick. Mm-hmm. That'd be fire. I don't know.
Very, very cool.
Good times. But anyways, thank you guys so much for watching. If you want to watch the whole podcast, you can become a member for $2 a month right here on youtube.com/strictlycasual. But if you got no bucks to toss our way, baby, you can go over to audio platforms and check it out for free. We appreciate you guys. And we'll see you on the podcast.
Cool.
Next up, James.
Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, reportedly delayed until 2023. This comes from IGN. Rocksteady's next DC game, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, has been delayed until 2023. And might I add, quietly at that. As reported by Bloomberg, the upcoming Suicide Squad game has been pushed back a year after initially announcing a 2022 release window. Warner Bros. Games is gearing up several releases for this year, including Hogwarts Legacy and Lego Star Wars, and also Gotham Knights, right? That's Warner Bros.
Yeah, that would make sense. I don't know why that wasn't even included here. Also, there's no shot Hogwarts Legacy is coming out this year. I'm calling it now. There's no way.
I don't know.
We haven't seen anything.
It's a big shoulder shrug for me.
We've gotten a cinematic trailer, and that's it? Supposed to come out in the next 10 months?
It's a big shoulder shrug for me. It's been done before.
And all the criticism?
You know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Vin.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I always think back to Fallout 4.
Okay.
A game that literally had nothing besides a teaser, unveiled in June, came out in November.
That's a pretty hype window right there.
So I'm just saying, it could happen.
Okay, fair enough.
It could happen.
Are you excited for the Hogwarts?
God of War Ragnarok. I don't know if I'm allowed to be excited for Hogwarts. And so because I don't know if I'm allowed, I'm going to say I'm not excited. But legitimately, like, I'm not invested in the Harry Potter franchise enough.
Yeah.
Right, to be excited for it.
Yeah.
But, like, gameplay could be cool. I don't know.
It'd be cool. Keep an open mind. Maybe it's great.
Expecto Patronum.
Yeah. Can I fly a dragon, bro? Can I just wave my wand around and do cool shit? That's all I want.
Like, I don't know how they would regulate that. Like, I don't know how many different like regularly used spells there are.
Is it an MMO?
No, it's not an MMO.
But it's like an RPG?
Yeah.
But with MMO elements? They really were selling like the play with your friends type thing.
Play with your friends, but I don't know if that makes it an MMO.
Right. Maybe MMO
maybe
elements?
Just a co-op deal.
Yeah.
Maybe some MMO elements.
I think Hogwarts is going to be like a some, like, hub shared space
spaces,
or some shit.
But like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, not an MMO. Shared spaces. That's a better way to put it.
Anyway, this article is about Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League was first announced in 2020 and Rocksteady's first DC game since finishing the Batman Arkham trilogy. It's how it can be played single player or as co-op multiplayer where players will work together as different members of the Suicide Squad to take on a brainwashed Justice League, including evil Superman. The first in-game footage for Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League premiered at DC Fandome 2021. So far, the Suicide Squad includes Harley Quinn, King Shark, Deadshot, and Captain Boomerang. Each character can be customized with unique weapons and abilities. With a release date seemingly pushed to 2023, it will be 8 years since Rocksteady last released a video game as Arkham Knight was released back in 2015. That's a damn long time.
That is, dude, 8 years. It's a long time.
That's a damn long time. Check out IGN's Arkham Knight review.
I don't know why that was there. It's just tagged on at the end. All right. Kill the Justice League. I was very excited when this got announced and stuff. And
you were?
Posters. Yes. Oh, yeah. Dude, fighting evil Superman, evil Flash. Like, that was so sick to me.
It did sound pretty cool.
And then I saw the gameplay and I was like, wow, this looks just mid. This looks pretty mid. And so I'm like, not excited.
I don't know if I thought it was mid, but I definitely thought it wasn't for me.
Yeah. But I mean, this is the same situation that I've had with tons of games. It's like, it doesn't look interesting. It comes out. It gets great reviews. I check it out. I'm like, damn, this is a great time. And that's what I'm assuming that's going to be for this, even if I'm not like super excited for it right now. That's how I felt about what game did I just play? Oh my God.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes, thank you. A game that looks super mid, and I absolutely freaking loved it.
See, that's I could see this game existing in a sort of Guardians of the Galaxy scape.
Yeah, totally. But, I mean, here's the thing. I just don't care as much about this game as I do about Gotham Knights. Like, I know...
I don't know why you're so excited for Gotham Knights, Finn.
Dude, it looks so sick. I can't wait. I can't wait.
It just looks like... This is my soapbox.
Tell me.
I'm tired of all these games that are like contingent on co-op experiences for like enjoyable gameplay. Sure, all these games say you can play them single player. You can play Destiny single player.
Right.
But are you going to have a good time playing single player? Absolutely fucking not. Okay? Because there's no way these AI are going to be able to live up to your buddies doing stupid shit while you're trying to get your shit done. Okay.
Yeah. Keep going.
And they're going to be doing other stupid shit that's not enjoyable whatsoever. They're just going to be running into a fucking wall. They're not going to be doing shit that actually matters.
Yeah. Okay.
And like, I just want to be able to have experiences and not be contingent on my friends' schedules and things, because I'm always the one who doesn't have, like, whose schedule does not line up with my friends.
Yeah.
And so I can't enjoy these experiences because I don't have friends.
Stop. James, we're playing Gotham Knights together, okay? We're doing it.
No, I'm not paying $70 on a game I'm going to play three times.
I'm buying it day one. I'm there. I'll play it by myself.
Here's the thing. You're going to get your squad together of Cheesy and Ryder and whoever the fuck else, and you're going to be going, and then they're going to say, oh, James, you want to hop in? I'm like, fuck you. You guys played like 15 hours without me. And my bitch ass is level 2 when y'all are level 30. And that's not an enjoyable experience.
That's fine. That's fair. But James, Destiny, you're in. You're in for Witch Queen. Okay.
Fuck you.
Anyways, I'm excited. I'm excited. We're you know, just got to make it work. You just got to make it work. Next up, Lost Lake Games raises $5 million in seed funding. Pretty cool. This comes from
Lost Lake.
About to tell you. This comes from GameIndustry.biz. Lost Lake is a Seattle-based studio founded by former Blizzard Entertainment and Rockstar talent to expand team and development. So this is a new studio. They haven't published anything yet. Today's newly formed studio, Lost Lake, it's not today. It was formed a long time ago. Oh, today, comma, newly formed studio Lost Lake Games announced that it has raised $5 million in a seed funding round. The company said that the investment will go towards expansion of its development team, game development and production. Quote, the name Lost Lake is a promise. Discovery, adventure, unforgettable experiences. That's our promise to players and also our team, said Finney. Lost Lake is not tied to a single platform or genre, but rather a core belief that empowering talented individuals and fostering a culture of collaboration leads to incredible games. So, very excited about whatever comes out of Lost Lake. Although, James, this is like a little desensitization going on here. When our previous article is Sony buying Bungie for $3.6 billion and then reading about, oh yeah, $5 million for a company. And then we're talking like Bungie's employees getting like $1.2 million in retention bonuses if they stay for a long time. It's
okay. Well, let's keep in mind that Bungie has been around for a very long time.
Absolutely. They have been.
Originally like a subsidiary of Microsoft and was on Microsoft's payroll.
Yeah.
When Microsoft was a big booming company.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it still is a big booming company, but like Microsoft, you know, even in its early stages, a big booming company. This is a smaller studio.
Much. I mean, it's a couple employees.
It's a couple employees and $5 million. Even like if we talk about cost of game development, it's not a lot.
No, but I mean, since it's a small team and stuff like that, that's great, dude. If you're able to get $5 million of funding as like your first funding round or whatever, I'm sure this will lead to more. This means someone believes in them enough, right? So someone else has got to believe in them enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got
and
the talent.
I really
there.
Hope they, I mean, Rockstar and Blizzard Entertainment. And I hope these are guys who like left after, you know, this is the narrative in my mind.
Okay.
This is the narrative in my mind, which is not based in anything at all besides recent events. After the creator of Rockstar left and after everything with Bobby Kotick like started happening, people realized it was their time, they could get out. Right. And they were like, you know what, this is a time we're still passionate about creating games. We're going to create a new studio.
Yeah.
And so they went off and did this thing. And I can't wait for what they're going to see what they're going to do.
Their website is absolutely fire. I'll say it. It looks very well. It looks very good. Well, James Finney came from, he's like the co-founder, and Joe Pickup. Joe Pickup's from Rockstar, and James Finney's from Blizzard.
Fire website.
Yeah, it looks really good. You can check this out at lostlakegames.com.
You can even put in your email to receive their newsletter. You bet your ass I'm going
to
do that.
So it's just six people. So six people getting $5 million to just start the production of their game. And I'm sure, again, this is not like the studio's announcement. They've been announced. They've been working on stuff, at least pre-production wise. So I'm assuming the $5 million is to get production up and running. So very, very cool. We'll see. We'll see what comes out of it. But we'll be keeping an eye on Lost Lake, baby.
Yeah, we will. Next up, EA had a little bit of an earning call this week. A
lot of information here.
A lot of information. We funneled it down to just 3 points, but there's a lot more than this, I assume. We got Battlefield 2042 updates in this. I'm just going to get into this. So Battlefield 2042's first roadmap is revealed by DICE. Vincent, tell me a little about that roadmap, what we see in Lessig.
Here we go. I'm going to give you the summary of like the player's point of view, and then this is DICE's statement, basically.
Okay.
The game launches with the promise of seasons, okay? The promise of free seasons. You don't pay for these seasons. It's just more content. It's going to be more maps, more guns. They didn't say a battle pass or anything, but there's definitely going to be progression for each season, however that looks. Mm-hmm. But they're included in the game. They're no extra purchase. But we haven't heard a single freaking thing about season one. Season one, like the game didn't even launch with the season one. It just launched with the content, which is a little bit of content. It wasn't a lot, but it was, you know, it was passable by AAA game standards right now. Not on a quality wise, on a content, quantity wise. Okay. And so people are like, well, where the hell is season one? When are we going to get more content to grind? Because the grinders have grinded. The grinders have grinded and it's over. If you weren't hardcore into Battlefield 2042, you dropped off because there's nobody playing this game right now. I have to play it on crossplay mode on my PS5 to even load into a match. I cannot even get in a match just with PS5 players. Like, that's how bad it is. If you don't have crossplay on, you're not playing this game.
Damn.
So, DICE finally comes out with a statement. After a long wait, Battlefield 2042 players finally have a schedule when new features, seasonal content, and bug updates will be added to the game. The post went on to discuss the arrival of Season 1, which appears to indicate an unfortunate delay, and it is now slated as a release in early summer, which is, keep in mind, like 9 months after the game's launch. That's a long time. DICE plans to release 4 new seasons, 4 new experts, new locales, a fresh content over the next 12 months, an exclusive Steadfast Legendary Bundle being prepared with the next update as an apology and a thank you to Gold and Ultimate Edition players. Containing new specialist skins, weapon skins, all that, you know, all that bullshit that they add to this. But while news should be welcomed by gamers, it's unclear whether it would be sufficient, especially given the disappointing announcement of Season 1's delay. But it is clear that DICE is serious about fixing the game. Okay. But this rolls over. We got a little more news in here too. This is Twitter. Nibellian summed up the conference call, EA's earnings conference call that happened.
Well, it's originally from Daniel Amad.
Oh, is it? Maybe I summarized Daniel Amad's. Is that what this tweet links to?
Yeah.
Okay. Excuse me. Sorry, Daniel. Give credit where credit's due. Thanks for catching me on that. But Daniel Amad says from EA conference call, Battlefield 2042 did not meet expectations. And that's EA saying that straight up. Obviously, the Steam reviews are overwhelmingly negative at this point in time. Work from home proved to be challenging. Unanticipated performance issues that needed addressing. So there's a lot of that were unexpected, apparently, unanticipated. And then there's some design choices that just did not resonate well with the community.
Okay? Did they not resonate with the community?
James, there's no scoreboard in the game. You can't see your, there's no scoreboard. That's just one thing. But they're still planning major updates, and it seems like they're still going to be working on the game. They haven't abandoned it. They also said it's not here, but the income from Battlefield is like less than 10% of what EA makes. But that's even with the last three previous Battlefield games, is Battlefield is such a small overhead for them, I guess, whatever. So they don't even spend that much on it and they don't make that much from it, but they're still continuing to develop it. So that's interesting to me. I will be here for the long run on Battlefield 2042 because I think it's an enjoyable game, even if it's not a great game. And I think there's a reason they pushed Season 1 back to summer, James. And do you know why that is?
What is that?
I truly think this game is going free-to-play before Season 1. And they launch free-to-play with Season 1.
I concur.
They have a lot of microtransactions they could put in this game to make it profitable for them. So, yep. And I hope it does because the player base, I hope it gets bigger. And I don't know. Yeah, I like the game, so I hope it sticks around for a little while longer.
Okay.
We'll see.
Great. Next up, we got Stories Without a Story. Random fun stuff. Our favorite part of the show, your favorite part of the show. We're going to go with rapid fire. First up on RFS is It Takes Two movie gets greenlit.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Yes. I'm so indifferent, but at the same time, it's like that feeling when you're eating something and you're like, oh, this tastes fine. And then you like, there's something in the back of your mouth that's kind of like, oh, like what is that?
Yeah.
What is that coming from?
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about this.
Sure. Can you imagine if Joseph Ferris gets nominated for an Oscar?
I would die.
It'd be very
I would quit my entire career
yeah.
of everything.
Gran Turismo 7 gets a 32-minute long state of play deep dive. Highly recommend watching it. It is gorgeous.
Mad Maggie joins Apex Legends. She has a new character. She looks pretty cool.
Sweet. Horizon Forbidden West gets a new challenges. Oh, gets challenges trailer. Haven't watched that yet. Did you watch that?
No, it's like 2 minutes long though.
Okay, cool.
It's a short little thing.
Sweet.
The Nintendo Switch has now outsold the Wii. This is actually crazy. Huge.
Yeah, which means it's like doubled the Wii U now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Konami states they will continue to sell NFTs going forward. So I don't know. We'll see more about that. We got like one sentence about it, so it's hard to really dig into this.
Yeah. I mean, there is a 21 long page like report about it that is very business heavy.
Yeah, but only one section is digital goods and only one paragraph is NFTs. And it only says NFTs in one sentence. The rest of it's like other business shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak join Fortnite.
The Silk Sonic boys themselves.
Yep.
Duos. That's a clickbait. Clickbait for like 12-year-olds. It's like winning Fortnite duos with Silk Sonic.
Yep.
Ghostwire Tokyo gets a March 25th release date and Bethesda showcase today at 2 p.m. PST, which is what's today? The 3rd, February 3rd. Yeah. So if you're watching this after, it's probably already happened. Actually, yes. It's guaranteed to already happen by the time you listen to this.
Mm-hmm. Dynasty Warriors 9 producer Akira Suzuki wishes to work on a Star Wars Musou game at some point in the future. Do you know what a Musou game is, Vin?
Negative.
A Musou game is like Dynasty Warriors or Hyrule Warriors, like Legends of Hyrule Warriors, or like Persona 5 Strikers. Basically, you're going around a map and you're fighting a bunch of like hordes of enemies until you clear them all.
Hey, prequels era, Clone Wars era. That would be perfect
Clone Wars, the Musou game would go.
Yeah,
would go crazy.
And then PlayStation Critics Choice sale is live. I did pick something up. The second season of Batman Telltale. I had only played the first season. Second season was sale for $2.99, so I bought it because I really like the first season. So I was like, oh yeah, I can't wait to play the second.
Might be time for me to pick up Final Fantasy VII.
Is it on the sale?
It is on the sale.
Dude, it's so good. I have 20 hours on it. Apparently, I'm only halfway done with the game. I'm on chapter 11.
It's like $40 for the PlayStation 5 version with the with intermission.
Do it. Do it, baby. It's good. It's so good. And the intermission is like an 8-hour long campaign. So you're getting your money's worth.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a lot. What was I going to say before random fun stuff was over? There was another fun thing. It was... Man. Damn. Well, there. That's it. That's that. What's your week looking like, James? What do you got game planned for the rest of the week?
Here's my thing. I'm trying to hold out until Elden Ring. Elden Ring comes out in
22nd.
Just like 28th. 3 weeks.
28th.
One, two, three, 3 weeks and 4 days.
You see Game Informer's coverage of Elden Ring?
No.
Dude, it's awesome. You gotta watch it.
I don't want to see anymore. Okay, I don't want to see anymore. I just want to experience fair. It.
And honestly, the graphics are good on the
yeah,
coverage.
Yeah, they look great.
Yeah.
I have like, oh, I want to play the, my goal for this week is to play Bloodborne PSX.
Oh, yeah. It's free. You can download that, baby.
Yeah, I already have it downloaded. Sweet. I just got to jump in.
Yeah, looks pretty sweet.
It's like 3 hours long. Mm-hmm. So that's like 3 play sessions for me, maybe. Yeah,
that's so awesome.
I want to jump into that. I probably, even if I buy Final Fantasy VII, I won't get into it.
Yeah.
Because I want to like, I want to one-shot that bad boy.
Because, I mean, I started that first week of January, and I'm only halfway through. It's the first week of February. But I only put 20 hours in through the month, which, I don't know. I put 10 hours into Pokemon this week. Wild.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I just got to get to it. But, guys, that was episode 98. There is 2 weeks till episode 100, and that is so exciting.
That's crazy.
James, the fact that we committed, this is a commitment, and we've done it for 100 episodes, is something to be pretty proud of. It's pretty sick.
I'm proud of us.
I'm proud of us too, James. This is huge. This is big.
It's actually more than 100 weeks because we've taken weeks off.
That's right.
Holidays.
Mm-hmm. Holidays and moving and all that. So crazy. Yeah. I actually got some 2-year anniversary stuff on the popping up on the Snapchat or something like that the other day.
Whoa, cool.
Exciting. All right, guys. Whoa. Well, I'm going to roll this outro. Guys, again, please give us a rating on audio platforms. Helps us out a lot. And like our videos on YouTube or comment. It helps us out a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that algorithm. Y'all. Yep, the algorithm. We are trying to crack the algorithm in 2022. That is the big reason that we're unlisting our podcasts and putting them for members only, the full podcast, because search results, baby. Okay. All right. Appreciate y'all. We will see you next week.